This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has rejected a call by more than 200 U.S. mayors to bring the Senate back into session and move on gun safety legislation. AP's Sagar Magani reports the mayors asked for the move after the two mass shootings that left 31 people dead last weekend.
In a letter to the Senate's two leaders, the mayors urged them to interrupt a long August break and bring senators back to vote on House-passed bills expanding background checks for gun sales. Among those signing the letter, Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley, who said yesterday after President Trump's visit to her city, she'd like to finally see gun control action.
I'm not holding my breath. Too often we just see complete inaction because they're waiting just for time for people to forget.
Senate GOP Chief Mitch McConnell's been resisting pressure to bring lawmakers back. The president's been privately calling senators while pushing publicly for expanded background checks. Sagar Magani at the White House.
Dozens of immigrant workers have been released a day after being detained in the largest immigration raid in a decade in the United States. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement officials said 680 mostly Latino workers were arrested at seven Mississippi chicken processing plants in Wednesday's raids. But immigration lawyers say that by Thursday morning, about five busloads of people had been released. Mike Hurst is the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Mississippi.
Now, while we are a nation of immigrants, more than that, we are first and foremost a nation of laws.
Bill Chandler is the Executive Director of the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance, speaking on WAPT-TV.
That's all in the name of white supremacy. They don't want people of color. They haven't figured out what to do with African Americans just yet, besides gerrymandering their districts. And now they don't want, they see a future where Latinos and other immigrants will bond together.
An ICE spokesman said about 30 of the workers were released at the plant. This is VOA News. As India and Kashmir remained in an unprecedented lockdown, Prime Minister Narendra Modi promised Kashmiris the beginning of a new era as a result of his government's decision to scrap the region's special status and bring it under New Delhi's control. In an address made on television and radio Thursday, Modi defended revoking the constitutional provision under which Kashmir could make its own laws, saying it has impeded its progress, given rise to terrorism, and was used as a weapon by rival Pakistan to instigate some people. He said India would now rid the region of terrorism and terrorists. New Delhi blames Islamabad for fomenting a violent three-decade separatist insurgency in the disputed Himalayan region that is claimed by both countries, with Kashmir in a communications blackout for the fourth straight day. It is not clear how residents of India's only Muslim-majority region reacted to the Hindu nationalist leader's assurances of more development, jobs, and better governance. Most Kashmiris could only have heard his speech on radio as internet and cable television networks remained suspended. A new report from the United Nations says how humans use land on the planet could help with climate change or could lead to catastrophe. AP's Rita Foley.
It's pretty scary. That's a UN climate change official talking who helped write the report. He says he's losing sleep over this. The report says within our lifetimes, the Earth could see food supplies dwindle, water shortages, and wildfires, just to name a few nightmares. French climate scientist Valérie Masson-Delmotte, who chaired one of the working groups, says we are doing this to ourselves.
The way we produce food and what we eat.
The scientists say we could help save the planet from a warmer future if we eat less meat, change the way we grow food, and stop cutting down as many trees. I'm Rita Foley.
In Zimbabwe, the president's son, a former first lady, and 24 other prominent politicians are accused of abusing their positions to acquire loans without collateral from a leading bank in the southern African country. The Commercial Bank of Zimbabwe says it has been forced to assume debt totaling at least $160 million after Emmerson Mnangagwa Jr., Grace Mugabe, and others defaulted on loans made from 2010 to 2014. It released a list of alleged defaulters earlier this week. Zimbabwe's government, overseeing the country's worst economy in a decade, has a 16% stake in the CBZ. Most of the individuals on the bank's list also allegedly defaulted on additional loans totaling $200 million from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
great news. It's BOA.